Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and today is Potapalooza Day. I'm so excited. I've met so many killer people that I would not have been able to talk to otherwise. And I have another guest that will give us even more insights. I have Jim, I'm going to get this right. Honest Check. Did I get it close? Exactly. Oh, perfect. And he's in Toronto. I honeymooned in Toronto. So now we're almost related. I think we must be cousins. I think we must be.
Hi, Jennifer. Jennifer, thank you so much for having me on your show. And I look forward to our conversation.
Right. So the podcast is Destined for Success. So why don't you share with us your success journey and how you help others, companies, individuals reach their level of success?
So I've spent much of my life either working at other companies where we've sold into new markets or developed new products and brought them to market, or I've started companies or worked in smaller companies and worked for the founders. And in those situations, every time success is moving from an early business that is not even breaking even sometimes across a chasm, which is a term coined by Geoffrey Moore, who wrote the book Crossing the Chasm. And it's quite a high risk and resource hungry process that requires plan and strength and character to cross the chasm. And success is when you move from those early innovator clients, early adopter clients into the mass market where the business is self-sustaining. That this is in context where 20% of new businesses failed in the first year, 50% fail in the first 5 years. We all know these statistics, and those that the 7% who actually grow rapidly, which would be defined as larger than 10 people growing at 20% per year, compounded annually for 5 years. The process where you hit that rate of growth is not random. It is a hardcore plan to find success in that type of growth.
Wow. And I'm kind of a little bit mind blown by some of these numbers. So how do you get there? How do you cross over that chasm, or is that your whole business to help people step over that chasm?
I run a course that teaches people to cross the chasm, and I will take on a smaller number of people into a more of a mentorship, or even as one-on-one clients. But the essence is, the idea of a new business is really only worth 10% of that business, and the success is in the other 90% of what you do. And it starts, and those aren't my statistics, by the way, those are generally accepted. And it starts with not being so attached to your own idea of what a new product or new service or new market looks like. but be malleable enough to mold whatever you're doing to what the customer or the market really wants to buy. So, Jennifer, what you and I might think is a good idea in growing a business really means nothing relative to respectfully. It really does. Respectfully compared to what the customer wants. And so where you start is you have to survey your target customer base and be highly precise in what you mean as a target customer. And even within the target customer base, say a specific industry like colleges and universities, or my focus is business to business situations. So it might be a mental health online tools company that's selling to those colleges and universities. But the essence is you have to go out and survey the colleges and universities and find out what they want to buy. It doesn't matter whether you have a good idea or I have a good idea. And there is a very precise way of selling. And I can guarantee you that whatever we think is a good idea will be tweaked by asking the client what's keeping them up at night and what would they think is an ideal product and service. And going further and asking them, you know, if you gave them what they asked for, how much would they pay for it? You know, and can I call you back in 3 or 6 months if in fact I'm going to deliver something close to what you want? But all, so we can find out this information just by talking with the right people. But it requires a lot more. You know, it'll take 2 to 3 years to cross the chasm. How are you going to pay the bills through that time? Do you have enough life savings? Do you have potential family and friends who might be investors? You know, there's so many issues that can cause that 20% failure in the first year and 50% over 5 years, that it really requires a lot of thinking.
So I keep smiling and chuckling. And for those of you listening to audio, you might have heard me making sounds in the background. But for those who see it on video, when I ever put the video up, my first client base that I really wanted to work with were new managers, because I felt as a new manager, I was kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool and didn't know how to swim. And I paid to go to training on my own. And I would work out deals with my boss so that she would let me off work. And then I would pay for my own travel, my own fees to get in to go to training so I could do better, know better, you know, be the best manager when the time came. And I just knew that other people would want that. And guess what? They do want it, but they want the company to pay. But then the companies right. all say, we have our own people to train that. And so I'm going to say, anybody listening to this podcast, and you're the one who's broken the code to get into corporations to train their people on leadership development and personal growth type things, my hat's off to you, because I was not successful at breaking into that group. And I think there are really a small number of trainers who are successful at actually breaking into that. So I'm chuckling, giggling, and also kicking myself in the pants for, yeah, this would have been great information.
There are so many little trade secrets and the secret sauce in what we talk about that you don't learn in business school, and you don't even learn through many formal corporate training. I've been through the formal training in many areas of companies like IBM and Oracle Corporation and Ford Motor Company and PricewaterhouseCoopers. And the types of things that we're talking about here, they don't teach there. So, for example, in your training business, in launching a new business, it's generally accepted in most markets that it's around 3% of the buyers are mm-hmm. willing to take a chance on a new product or service. And so you need to find that category of what are called innovator buyers. And they're extremely demanding, and they are in successful high growth businesses. They are usually friends of the family, people that the entrepreneur knows extremely well from previous business situations or from their network, and that innovator buyer trusts the person. So that if you're starting a business, say in training to corporations, you have to find someone that you know who's willing to take a chance on your training more than just because you've got a good idea, right? If you look at all the successful high growth companies, they started this way. Almost all of them. But then once you've sold to that early adopter type, that innovator type buyer, then there are other types of buyers, one called the early adopters, the next phase, and that's about 8% of the market. And they won't be the first client, but they'll be an early on client, and they have other buying criteria. And most of the market, 33% of the market is made up by what are called early majority buyers. And those buyers need strong references, good case studies, good documentation, all the things that you don't have when you're a smaller business, right? So you can't waste your time trying to sell to those people who are early majority. And then there's the late majority, and then there's the laggards that you sell to differently. But the point in all of this is to be successful, you've got to cross the chasm and sell to that innovator buyer differently than the early adopter, and hopefully you can cross the chasm to where the early majority buyer can be well served. And that's, I love the business development aspect of what we're talking about, and this is what I love to teach and talk with my clients about.
Well, and I'll just say I ended up getting into the woo energy healing energy side of things and kind of turn my back on the other. I'm still willing to do it, but that's not where I'm going to put my effort. And the ones who called me initially, just out of the clear blue, my phone rang. Hey, will you come do a training on this? And I was like, yes. A few months later, I get another call like that. I'm just saying, Jim, I thought that was going to be the rest of my life, that my phone would just ring. Imagine my dismay when it didn't.
Right. Well, then you get into more traditional lead generation and tracking and closing a business. But you do that with these different types of clients just differently depending on the phase of growth you're in.
I love it. I wish I had known this sooner, but it's not too late. So I've made a pivot in my business just over 2 years ago. I'm still in the gaining clients. I work with people mostly one-on-one, but a lot of the work I do, I still could take into a larger group, into a company or something like that. So do you have any ideas on what an entrepreneur can do to step into this? Do you have something that we might be missing that we didn't even consider looking at besides investigating our market a lot better?
Right. Well, so the first point in that I've made is to find those early innovator clients who are personal relationships and overachieving with them. So you end up with some solid references, right? But there are, depending on what the product or service might be, even if it's, say, a hardware product, to develop online videos and striking up real education-based selling, where people value your education, that you inform them about this product segment, or not just what your product does, but how it helps their business. You know, those that, or how generally what you're doing might lead to other things helping their business, putting it in the client's terms. And you could even, say, have an online course where the client pays tuition in order to attend the course to learn how to do the training that you're doing. as an example in your business, right? Where so you end up running a course rather than actually delivering the training, and through running the course that people might pay tuition to, that you might through that then find leads to people who want to join group coaching for a year, rather than actually buying your hardcore training service. And then some of that group might eventually become your hardcore training clients, but there's a bit of a roadmap. So there's lots of things like that that you can do that generate revenue in the short term and help you refine your product or service along the way.
I love that. I had a business coach that recommended that I write a course and record it, and I did, and then nobody bought it for a number of reasons, and COVID hit, and I had done training for the great state of Oklahoma in person, and I got a call from my contact, and she said, "Do you have anything online we can put in our portal?" And I said, "I do." And so something that I had created like 2 years previously or 3 years, they ended up paying a licensing fee for 6 months to put it out on their portal for their employees. And I ended up sharing two different training things that I had already done. So same kind of thing then, right? You know, put together the stuff that you already have that's easily accessible.
Absolutely. And lots of what you have can be converted into checklists and, you know, short summaries that you can give away piecemeal as free offers to get them to come and take your course. I would never try and sell a recorded course. You know, I would be more tempted to give people access to the recordings for free, wanting to entice them to take the course, and just make sure that the course is so overwhelmingly full of content that it exceeds people who might try to listen to the course, their expectations, and makes them realize that they're not going to get it through this without you, and then register for your course.
I love that. I'm taking notes. Won't get it without me. That's really helpful. Awesome. So if someone wanted to reach out to you and find out how you could help them strategically position themselves to cross that chasm quickly and easily, how would we do that? How would we get hold of you?
Well, through you, possibly, or more directly through my website, which is ultimatebgr.com. That stands for Ultimate Business Growth. That's the ultimate G, the letter G, and then br.com. Or you'll find my mobile app on the Google Play or Apple Store under that same name, Ultimate Business Growth, or my name.
Thanks, Jim.
Jennifer, it's such a pleasure to talk with you. I hope we can talk again.
It's been a pleasure. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success. Please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe, and get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.